I'm going to begin reading verse 24, and I'm sure this is a very familiar Bible story of Jacob wrestling with the angel, and I think I've given several messages from this chapter, but as I was thinking about God's blessing upon my own life this week, he showed me some things in this passage that I had missed before, and that's just the way the Lord is. He reveals things to you right when he knows that they'd be most beneficial to you. So Genesis 32, verse 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." It was the angel speaking. Now, Jacob said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore, the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. And the Orthodox Jews today still observe that dietary restriction in memory of what we just read. Orthodox Jews will not eat that part of their meat. That's something they've carried around right to this day here. It reminds them of something. It reminds them of Jacob's struggle that night with the angel. And I want to call your attention to the last phrase in this tremendous struggle that went on between these two men all night long. Look at the last phrase in verse 29. "And he blessed him there." Jacob was a man who wanted a blessing from God. And I begin to think about this week. Do I really desire the blessing of God? Do you really desire the blessing of God? I'm sure that publicly in this place, and I'm sure we mean it, we would say, "Yes, I want God's blessing." But do you know the blessing of God cost you some things? It cost Jacob quite a few things here. In fact, every day of Jacob's life after this occurrence, he was walking around with a limp that reminded him of that interaction he had had with the Lord that night. And folks, the Lord began to work on my heart. I don't want to be content just by knowing that I'm saved and I'm going to heaven and I'll just be happy to get there. Have you heard folks say that? "I'll just be happy to get there." Well, I'll be happy to get there too, but I'd like to take a few things with me. I mean, I'd be happy. I'm happy I'm going to heaven, but don't you want to have some rewards to give back to the Lord? Don't you want to do what Peter said, to have an abundant entrance into that kingdom? Jacob was a man who wanted the blessing of God. And I'm going to just share with you some things tonight that it may cost you if you truly do want God's power and God's blessing on your life. And I must make a distinction here for fear that you'll misunderstand. The salvation that the Lord offers is absolutely free. No work on your part has to be done in order to receive it or to keep it. But blessing is another thing entirely. The blessing of God is something that a man must, number one, desire, and it's something that qualifications set forth by the Lord must be met in order to have God's blessing, in order to have God's power. Jacob was a man who knew something about getting a blessing. Before this chapter, do you know that Jacob had gotten the blessing from his father? But he got that first blessing, folks, by deceit. This time he wanted a true blessing from God. And Jacob knew something. If he's going to get this blessing from God, he won't get it by deceit. He couldn't fool the Lord like he fooled his daddy. He knew in this chapter, if he was going to get God's blessing on his life, he was going to have to meet God's requirement. Now, that's the crossroads you're at tonight. Do you prefer the blessing and the applause of men, or would you rather have the blessing and approval of God? Jacob had the blessing from his father, but he got it by lying. You remember that instance? Mother and him cooked up a plan together to deceive Jacob's father, Isaac, and took that thing so far that they even took goat skin and goat hair and affixed it onto the back of Jacob's neck, on the back of his hand, so that when their father, nearly blind with age, put his hands on him, he would feel the hair, because Esau, the Bible said Jacob's brother, was a hairy man. He thought, I'll be able to fool old dad here. And Isaac had some suspicion at first. If you read over there just a few chapters before, Isaac said, is that you, Esau? And Jacob lied to him and said, it's me, it's Esau. You know, Jacob had to relive that here with this angel. Just as Jacob's father, Isaac, said to him, what's your name? And he lied to him. Here this angel said to him, what's your name? And brother, he couldn't lie his way out of that one. He had to give his name. And so the question is here, do you desire the approval of men, or do you desire the approval and blessing of God? Now, just a few things here. Keep your Bible open. We'll turn to some passages. But first of all, what is a blessing? We talk about blessings. The Lord bless you and God bless America, and you're a blessing to me, and I want to be a blessing to you, but I wonder if we understand what a blessing really is. What is it? It's more than just a sentiment in some card that you would send somebody or some phrase you would throw around loosely. There is a lot behind the Bible word blessing. And it's a deep word, and it's a wide word. But at the heart of the word blessing, and you got to get this, folks, it has the idea of bringing joy to someone's life. Joy. Peace. In other words, it's something that would encourage you. It's something that cheers the heart. So when you say, I desire a blessing from God, what you're saying is, you desire the joy of the Lord. And Jacob said to this angel, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Of all that Jacob could have requested, he said to the angel, there's one thing I want, and I'm not going to let you go until I get it, and that's the blessing of God. And that's the struggle, folks. You see, this here isn't a picture of Jacob's salvation. When you come to the Lord to get saved, does he make you fight it out all night before he saves you? It's not like that at all. The Lord doesn't say, all right, you desire salvation, me and you, in the ring. If you can beat me out, you can be saved. That's not how it is at all. But here, that blessing came with some requirements. And so when you say you want a blessing, what you're saying is, I desire the joy of the Lord. I desire my life to please the Lord. You may want to make note of this. In the Bible, there are three different types of blessing. Number one, man can bless another man. You see that a lot. I'm going to read to you from Genesis 49. Listen to Genesis 49:28. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Every one according to his blessing, he blessed them. So it's possible for men to bless other men. Have you ever been blessed by somebody? Has the Lord ever used a brother or sister in Christ to bless you? Sure he has. We know what that's about. So men can bless men. Here's something else about the thing. God can bless a man. That's the second type of blessing. The Bible says in Genesis 26:24, listen to this, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, I am with thee, and I will bless thee. That's God talking to man. So number one, men can bless men. Secondly, God can bless men. And thirdly, one that we don't talk much about, but men can bless God. You don't hear that much. Shortly after 9/11, you remember all the bumper stickers around the country, God bless America? In some form or another, that was everywhere, and that's a good thing. But I never did see one that said, America bless God. It is possible for men to bless the Lord. Isn't that strange to think about? I want you to listen to this passage in Psalm 34, verse 1. Listen closely. Psalm 34, 1, the Bible said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Another place he said, bless the Lord, O my soul. You see, it's possible for you to be a blessing to God. I don't know about you folks, but that seems astounding. Who am I? Just insignificant. What am I that I could bring joy to the heart of God? But you can be a blessing to God, and you are a blessing to God when you do those things that please Him. Have you ever had your own children be a blessing to you? How many of you have ever had your child be a blessing to you? Isn't that a good thing? And you know what you're tempted to do in return when they bless you? You're tempted to bless them. It's a wonderful relationship. And so as I came down through here, I see a man named Jacob who had sort of a shady record, if you want to say it that way. But he got it right here. I do believe Jacob had a proper estimation of spiritual things. And he said to the angel, I'll let you go when you bless me. Now, it's common, evident to me, I'm sure it is to you, this was no ordinary angel that Jacob was wrestling with. This wasn't your rank and file angel. This was the angel of the Lord. And in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord was none other than Jesus Christ himself. Before Bethlehem, he could take on himself any form he chose to take. I know this was not an ordinary angel because look at what Jacob says when the angel was going away. Look at verse 30. Did you catch that? Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. And that word Peniel, if you've got a study Bible, you probably see this in the margin. That word Peniel, he named that place Peniel. And that word literally means the face of God. So Jacob named that place and he said in verse 30, for I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved. Now, will you turn to Isaiah 26? Find Isaiah 26. So this is no ordinary angel. This was to give you the big word, to make you think I'm earning my keep around here. The big word is the pre-incarnate Christ. In other words, before he came to Bethlehem as a babe, he could show up in any form he chose to. And very often in the Old Testament, Jesus came in the form of the angel of the Lord. On one occasion, he came over to Joshua and he called himself the captain of the Lord's host. And so here, what you have is you have God wrestling with man. Now, how many of you agree God could have pinned Jacob anytime he wanted to? I know it was a wrestling match, I understand that, but truthfully, folks, I mean, the Lord, you think you're going to stand up to God? But you see, the Lord allowed himself to remain locked in that struggle because God wanted to know if the blessing that he could give Jacob really meant that much to Jacob. And I think the Lord's looking down at us tonight, and I think he's examining our lives. I know he is mine. I think he's inspecting, and I think in his heart he wants to know, do we desire his blessing enough, if need be, that we have to go through some struggles to get it? Jacob did, and he got the blessing. You talk about a blessing, folks. He even got a new name. God renamed him. He said, no longer will you be named Jacob, but he said, now your name is Israel, and Israel means a prince with God. Now, I set that all up to show you this. You can have the blessing of God upon your life if you want it. Folks, did you get that? You can get the blessing of God if you desire it. God desires to bless your life. Do you believe that? God desires to bless you with spiritual strength and discernment, wisdom and power and joy. Some folks talk about the blessing of God, their mind immediately goes to material things only. God wants to make you wealthy and name and claim it and all that sort of thing. God's blessings do often take the form of material things, and I thank the Lord for it. An illustration, this may not mean much to you, but 2 days ago, we brought in she brought in the last load of wood that we had to burn. And she said to me last night, she said, "We got to get some more wood somewhere. We got to find some wood. We're going to need more wood." And I didn't want to deal with wood the way I was feeling. I didn't care what, you know, cut down a tree in the backyard. I don't care what you do. But then this morning, just this morning, somebody sent Jessica a little message that said, "Hey, I've got more wood here I don't know what to do with. If you'll come pick it up, you can have all you want." Now, nobody knew we needed wood. That woman certainly didn't know we needed wood. You know what happened there, folks? God gave us a blessing. Amen. Just old dried out firewood. But you know that's a blessing if you need dried out firewood. But I don't want you to get the idea God's blessings only come in material forms. In fact, God's greatest blessings are things you can't see at all. God's greatest blessings are those things that are spiritual. Do you know by the time you get here to Genesis 32, folks, Jacob was a fairly wealthy man? I mean, he had a lot of livestock. He had extended family. He was a wealthy man. God had blessed him materially. But Jacob wanted more than that. And when Jacob said, "I'll not let thee go except thou bless me," he wasn't asking God to give him more sheep or to give him more changes of raiment or gold or silver. He said to the Lord, "I want a blessing, and I want it to be a spiritual blessing. I want it to be something that would be pleasing to the Lord to grant me." And the truth of it is, it's a stinging truth, but it's true. You right now have the level of fellowship with your God that you want to have. As close as you are to Jesus Christ tonight in your fellowship, that's just as close as you want to be. He desires to have fellowship with you. He desires to walk with you. And so if you're not in fellowship with Him, if you're not walking with Him, if you don't experience the joy of the Lord, whose fault is it? You have the level of fellowship you desire. No more and no less. Maybe sort of a hard thing because we like, at least in this country, some folks have the idea that everything's supposed to be given to them, entitlement, you know, if I've got it coming to me. That's not the way the blessing of God works, however. The book of James, God gives you the formula. The book of James says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you." But who makes the first move in that verse? We do. God says, "Sure, I'll draw nigh to you, but I've got to see you take a step toward me first." So right now, the level of fellowship you have with your God is just as much as you want to have. He desires it. Whatever you have, whatever you lack, that's your choice. And Jacob got to the place where he said, "I want more. I want the blessing of God more than I have it now." So that's my message tonight, just by way of introduction. It all goes down to desire. Do you desire God's blessing? I mean, is that the most precious thing that you could think of? If God were to say, "I'll give you one request, ask what you will and you'll have it." Examine your answer. What would you say? Jacob said, "I want the blessing of God. I want to have the joy of the Lord. I want God to work through my life." And it's all about desire. Do you know if you're here tonight and you don't desire the blessing of God, you'll never seek after the blessing of God? The majority of Christians, and I've been there, and I'd say maybe a couple of you have been there too, sometimes we're content just to be saved and we don't seek the blessing of God as earnestly as we ought to. And we're just sort of content with the status quo. There's no power in that kind of life. Jacob said, "I want more." But tragically, scores of believers are content to go through life without ever really experiencing the full joy that comes with the blessings of God. And I'm going to say that a lot during this lesson tonight, the blessings of God. It all goes down to desire. If you're there in Isaiah 26, look at verse 8. Isaiah 26, verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, "Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name, and the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired," what's the word? "Thee. In the night, yea, with my spirit within me, I will seek thee." You see this, folks? Isaiah is not desiring something, he's desiring someone. And that's my challenge to you tonight. Are you desiring the things God can give you, or are you desiring Him? You see, He wants us to get to the place where we desire Him and not just what He can do for us or do to us. Wouldn't you much rather have a friend who loved you for the sake of who you are and not somebody that just maintained a relationship with you for what they could get from you? Isn't that a blessing to have somebody, whether you can give them anything or not, you know they're still going to be there. And they're going to love you and they're going to enjoy you. And that's the way it is with the Lord. I think that we need to do a better job sometime of desiring the giver more than we desire the gift. But Isaiah said here, I've desired thee. And then the verse, I guess, that speaks about desire stronger than any verse I've found is in Psalm 38:10. I'll read it to you. I've quoted it many times. But listen, Psalm 38:10. My heart panteth. You know, like a dog pants. You've seen a dog panting, you know, tongue hanging out, wanting water. My heart panteth. My strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. He also said in the place, he said, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. David said, as much as that thirsty animal desires that drink of cold water, he said, my soul is panting, literally desiring the Lord. Not what he can do for me, but I just desire the Lord. Now, let's go back to where we started. Back to Genesis 32. And quickly, we'll look at what the blessing of God might cost you. Here's where you lose, folks. Everybody's all right as long as they're getting something for nothing. But then when you talk about your responsibility or my responsibility, folks start to tune you out. Jacob wanted the blessing, and he got the blessing, but it cost him some things. Back in Genesis 32, here's the first thing. The blessing of God may cost you your time. Look at what the Bible said here in chapter 32. Look at verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. God did not approach Jacob. God did not initiate this wrestling match until God had Jacob all to himself. You see, if you read before this, Jacob had sent across his wives and he had sent across his children and all of his servants. He sent them on over across the river. He said, you go on, I'll be there later. And when God saw that Jacob was all by himself, that's when God showed up. How many of you have been there before? Just you and the Lord. You ever been there? Hasn't he showed you some of the greatest lessons you've ever learned when it was just you and him? In prayer, in fellowship. And if you really desire the blessing of the Lord, you're going to have to give up some time. You may have to cut some things out of your schedule if it means making time to get alone with God. Now, some folks don't want the blessing of God that much. Some folks don't want to maybe, if it would mean having to get out of bed earlier in the morning so you can have your prayer and Bible reading before you start your day. Some folks say, I need that extra beauty sleep. Well, listen, you can sleep 24 hours a day, and some of you, it's just not going to help at all. But if you want the blessing of God, you have to be willing to say, everything else takes a back seat to my fellowship with the Lord. But some folks say, I've got my schedule, my routine. I just cannot possibly fit any more time into my day. I just don't have an hour to read my Bible or 15 minutes or 10 minutes to pray. I just don't have that time. All right, God's not going to force you. He won't force you. But you'll forfeit many of the blessings you could have had. There's a couple here, and they're here tonight, and they'd stand and tell you. They've told me, I guess, 15, 20 times in the past 8 years that every morning, both of them together, before they start the day, they read the Bible and pray together every day. And they said that they have come together closer in their relationship with each other because of that time. Now, you know what those folks had to decide? They had to decide that that time was more important than the Today Show or reading the morning newspaper or the morning coffee. Now, I hit a snag on coffee. I felt the opposition. Folks, what I'm saying to you is this. Are you willing to give up some things in order to have God's blessing? You willing to say, well, my flesh would like to do this, but I know my spirit wants to spend time with the Lord, and if I have to let some things that are not necessary go, I'll give that time to the Lord. Jacob had to get all by himself. And when God has you all to himself, just look out. That's when he's going to use you. And then something else here about the cost of blessing. Look back in verse 24 here. And just read that yourself. Just think about that verse. You know how the Hebrew day is laid out. And this verse says that there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. The Jews' day started at 6 in the morning. That's when their clock started. That was the new day. And the Bible said that's when the thing was over, getting about daylight, and the angel, for whatever reason, he wanted to be gone before the sun came up. And that's the lesson in itself, folks. Sometimes God does all of his work in the dark. And he does that in your life, doesn't he? Doesn't he do things that you can't see why he's doing it or how it's going to turn out, but he does it. And then when the sun comes up, you see what he's been doing. So here, the Bible says, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. If you study this, as far as the Hebrew clock's concerned, it looks like these men were engaged in this wrestling match anywhere from 4 to 8 hours, maybe more, but at least 4 hours. Most commentators say 6 to 8 hours, wrestle all night long until the morning. Now, brother, if you're willing to wrestle a full-grown man for hours upon hours at a time, then whatever you're wrestling for must be pretty important to you. And Jacob was willing, whatever it took, to continue engaged in this struggle until he got what he was after. And here's the lesson. The blessing of God requires persistence. If you want God to answer you and give you wisdom or give you direction, folks, we're going to have to learn to be more persistent than what we are. The microwave age that we live in, we have the idea if God doesn't answer in 30 seconds or less, we're going to give up and go to plan B. But sometimes God's going to make you wait. And if you're not willing to wait, if you're not willing to keep at it, even when you don't see God doing anything, I'm afraid you're going to forfeit many of his blessings. And maybe you're here now. Maybe you're not seeing God move in your particular circumstance. Maybe you're praying about something and it doesn't seem like God's moving in the situation at all, at least from your perspective. Be persistent. Just keep praying anyway. How many of you remember that little lady in the New Testament? And she came to her local congressman. Well, he was a judge. The Bible said he was a judge. And she had been wronged by somebody. You remember that story? She came to the judge and she said, "Avenge me of mine adversary." He wouldn't help her. Who was she? Just a woman. And the Bible said every day, come into the office, there was that woman outside his door. "Judge, I'm still here." And the Bible said he answered that woman, not because he feared God or man, but because, I'm going to translate it for you, he got sick of seeing her face down there. The Bible uses the word importunity. Jesus said, because of her importunity. In other words, he said, I don't particularly care about this woman. I don't particularly care about her God, but I'm tired of seeing her. So I'll just do what she asked to get her off my back. Now, you know, the Lord didn't like that judge in the respect. He does care about us. But the principle there is the Lord likes to look down and see folks who are persistent. All right, Lord, I haven't seen the prayer answered yet, but I'm just going to keep trusting, and maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow comes, Lord, I haven't seen you answer yet, but I'm going to keep praying. Maybe I'll see it tomorrow. God works that way. And Jacob was willing to hold on to this man as long as it took until he got the blessing. Now, folks, these are full-grown men. That's quite a thing. You know, wrestling. It was like wrestling on television. Well, down south, it's wrestling. But wrestling, it wasn't like it is down south at these, you know, arenas where nobody ever really hits each other, you know, and they have the packets of fake blood and all that. And that wasn't how it was. This was a real bona fide wrestling match. These two men were locked in this struggle. Are you willing to wrestle with God like that? Are you willing to say, Lord, I'm going to hold on to you, and I'm not going to let you go until I receive what I'm asking for? I think that pleased the Lord. So, number one, it may cost you some time, may cost you some comfort to have God's blessing. Number two, it requires you to be persistent. Don't stop asking, don't stop seeking, and don't stop knocking. God will hear you. Then thirdly, the blessing of God very often comes with pain. I wish I could leave this point out of the lesson. I wish I didn't have to say this to you. But do you know, before Jacob was given the blessing, he had to endure some pain? Now, I can't say I know what it's like to have a hip dislocated. I don't know what that feels like. As you know, if you've been here, we were involved in a car accident before I came to this church, and I had both shoulders dislocated at the same time. That was bad. I mean, that was a rough thing. And this shoulder, the tendons had been stretched so much that for a couple of years after that, if I turned wrong, I could feel my shoulder go out of place again. And I got good enough that I can put it back in place myself. It was terrible. You could hear it. You know. And anyway, that hurt, is what I'm saying. I learned to put it back in place. It hurts to have a dislocated shoulder. But the Bible says here, you see what the text, verse 25, when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. Wonder why. Why would the devil want to hurt Jacob like that? Or why would the Lord want to hurt Jacob like that? What wrong had Jacob did? I mean, he just asked for a blessing, and the mean old angel should have committed him. Why put him through that pain, Lord? Why causing him to live the rest of his life with that injury? You see, God didn't, from the text, it doesn't look here like God ever put the thing back in joint when the wrestling match was over. In fact, it said when the sun came up, he halted, verse 31, upon his thigh. You know what that says about the Lord? It says this. It says that before God uses a man or a woman, very often he has to break them in some way. I don't understand why that is completely. But I've never read about or met a Christian that God really has used, but that somewhere in their past, they've had a real heartbreak somewhere. I encourage you, read biographies of Christians that God's used greatly. And you'll find somewhere in their past, God brought them through a very deep, dark valley. And it seems in Scripture, at least, that before God uses something, he breaks it. Remember that lad's lunch that fed a multitude? Well, before it fed anybody, it had to be broken. Scripture said he broke the bread and he blessed it. And then you read about a woman who brought a box of ointment in, and before that ointment could run down the head of our Lord and permeate that room with that precious fragrance, what had to happen to that box? Had to be broken. And over you see God breaking something before he uses it. Now some of that may be because he knows it'll keep us humble. He knows it'll cause us to be sympathetic towards other folks. Even his own son, folks, even his own son didn't escape. When we observe the Lord's Supper here, we read the scripture where the Lord said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." You see, Christ had to die. And I wish it weren't so. God knows I do. I wish that God didn't have to give the trials and the troubles sometime to those children he uses the most, but he knows it's what's best for them. And behind every great man or great woman in Christ's service, if you'll study about it, you'll find a scar back there somewhere. Maybe the death of a spouse or the death of a child or some terrible thing from their childhood. Whatever it may be, there's always something in that life that has brought a great deal of pain. But it's helped that person to be empathetic toward folks and rely upon the Lord. Every step Jacob took, folks, after that day, he remembered that the Lord had touched him. So the blessing of God. Do you want the blessing of God? Notice how the folks aren't as quick to say yes now. I tricked you. When I started the sermon, remember? Who wants the blessing of God? Amen. Now who wants the blessing of God? Amen. Well, folks, I want to tell you, I'm right there with you. The blessing of God is a wonderful thing until you read on down there and you find out that Jacob had to undergo some suffering to get it. But I want to tell you something. The blessing of God is still worth it. It's still worth it. It's worth it now, and it'll be worth it then when we see how he's used it for his glory. So do you want the blessing of God? I hope you do. Understand that sometimes comes with pain. And then finally, here's something else that you're going to have if you're going to get God's blessing. It requires a great deal of humility. Proud people, number one, they don't seek the blessing of God because they don't think they need it. And proud people have no use for the empowerment that God gives because they think they're sufficient. But do you know how God had to humble Jacob here? Look back here and look at that. Look at verse number 27. Just look at that. I used to wonder about that. Lord, why does it matter what his name is? Of course the Lord knew what Jacob's name was. But in verse number 27, he said unto him, "What is thy name?" Now that's the angel talking to Jacob. And before he gave him the blessing, he wanted him to say his name. There's two reasons for that, I'm convinced. Number one, when Jacob spoke his name, knowing what his name meant, which means deceiver, what Jacob's name means, deceiver or trickster. When Jacob confessed his name, what he was really confessing is, my name fits. I've been a little deceptive in my past. Had he been, folks? Yeah, he'd lied to his father, hadn't he? Hadn't he kind of done a shady thing when his brother came in and said, I'm about to die of hunger in the field, give me something to eat? Now, if your brother or sister came to your house and said, I'm starving to death, wouldn't you just take what food you had and give them to them? Jacob said, I'll give you something to eat, but you got to give me something first. Some brother. And he traded away his birthright. The point is, the Lord wanted Jacob to come face to face with the condition of his heart. And God said to him, Jacob, tell me your name. And as Jacob spoke the name Jacob, he was saying, I've been wrong. I've done things that haven't pleased the Lord. Jacob was saying all that when he spoke his name. But the second reason I'm convinced that he made him tell him his name is because that's what Isaac said to him a few chapters back. Isaac said, are you my son Esau? And he lied to him. He said, yes, I'm Esau. But you see, he may get away with that with his daddy. But when the Lord said, what's your name? I'm convinced Jacob knew immediately why he said that. He remembered tricking his dad. He remembered deceiving his dad about what his name was. And God said, until you get that thing right, you're not going to get the blessing. So it was a thing of humility here. And if you want the blessing of God, you're going to have to be honest enough to come to the Lord and say, Lord, the things that if they're not pleasing you in my life, I want you to show them to me. And I'm going to call upon your power and forgiveness to cleanse me. Don't come into his presence proudly and arrogantly. Folks like that don't experience the blessing of God. In fact, the Bible said the Lord resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And that's the recipe, if you want to say it that way, for how Jacob got the blessing of God. And one of the most blessed men in all of Scripture is Jacob. You'll find his name all through the Bible after this. Jacob. Or you'll find Israel, all going back. All because one night God came to Jacob, wrestled with him, and Jacob said, above everything else, I just want your blessing on my life. He had to pay a price for it, certainly. But I can guarantee you one thing now, in heaven right now, Jacob's glad that he asked for the blessing. Now, how is it with you tonight? Are you saved? I hope you've been saved. Hope you've been born again. If you haven't been, that's where it starts. But beyond your salvation, do you really desire God's blessing? Don't be too quick before you answer that question. It's a wonderful thing to desire, but realize what that might mean. Do you desire God's blessing? Do you desire God's power? Are you content just to stay down at the foot of the mountain with the other 70 disciples, or do you want to be one of the three that gets to go up the mountain and see the Lord up there transfigured? You know your heart tonight, folks, and you're as close to your Lord as you want to be. If you want to be closer, He wants you to be closer. Be like Jacob. Say, Lord, I just want your blessing on my life. And I can give you a promise in conclusion. That's one prayer that He's glad to answer. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's pray together.